This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Lim Soo Ann and Dashun Johan in the studio with me today. So a couple of stories for you as always. In our first story, if you're out and about in KL or on your work to the or on your way to work in the city, you could stop by a book kiosk and get a free book. So these book kiosks were installed by the KL City Hall this year as part of the Kuala Lumpur World Book Capital 2020 campaign. However, a number of the kiosks have already been vandalized and damaged, very sadly, which leads us to ask, with attitudes like this, are Malaysians ready to become a reading society?
And in relation to that, we do have a Twitter, we do have a poll over on Twitter at BFM Radio. And basically what we are asking you, if you would use a book kiosk if there is one near you. So your options are yes and no. You can drop your thoughts under the poll, tweet us at BFM Radio, or alternatively WhatsApp us 018-789-8899.
And following that story in our second, in the second part of Daily Digest, a recent article in The Atlantic highlighted that we are seeing a broader trend of women leading protests across the world, and that these protests tend to be more effective. So we'll take a look at whether we are also seeing such trends here in Malaysia and what happens when women lead protest movements.
That's right. So that's coming up after the break a bit later. But for now, if you've taken a stroll around some of KL's tourist areas, for instance, maybe around Bukit Bintang or the River of Life sites, you may have seen some colourful book kiosks near bus stops or in the commercial areas. So these book kiosks were installed, as I mentioned earlier, by the KL City Hall as part of the Kuala Lumpur World Book Capital 2020 campaign. So the idea is that you can stop by a kiosk, take a book, read it, and then return it.
So KL Mayor Datuk Nur Hisham Ahmad Dahlan is said to have been inspired by similar kiosks in Europe, in European cities, which serve as mini libraries for the public. So a total of 65 book kiosks have been erected in 19 locations around KL. And so these are areas that have high foot traffic, such as the city's heritage trails, including Taman Tasik Titi Wangsa, Taman Botani Perdana, selected DBKL buildings, Kampung Baru, Chow Gate and Bukit Bintang. And then there are also kiosks in the heart of downtown KL, such as Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman, Masjid Jami, Jalan Petaling, and many others.
And some of these kiosks were repurposed from old refrigerators, telephone booths, cabinets, and while others were custom-made. So you may have seen them. Some of the custom-made ones are pretty attractive-looking, colourful boxes mounted on poles next to bus stops. So DBKL had budgeted around 4 million ringgit for this initiative, though they were able to complete it below the targeted amount.
Yes, and it sounds like a great idea, but sadly, a number of these kiosks have already been targeted by vandals, some merely a few days after they were installed. So The Star reported some of these instances. So for example, on Jalan Tuanku Abdul Rahman, where a repurposed fridge was turned into a book kiosk, the door had been broken and the books are missing. And over at Medan Tuanku, one of the kiosks is being used by a homeless person as a storage space for their clothes, shoes and other personal belongings.
And in areas like Bukit Bintang and Kampung Baru, the kiosk acrylic doors were smashed and power cables were pulled out. And the Taman Tasik Titi Wangsa book kiosk had its hashtag sign removed and power cables ripped out. So this Titi Wangsa kiosk is, by the way, the biggest one, measuring 2 metres in height and 1.8 metres in length.
That's really sad to hear what happened to all these kiosks.
It was really upsetting. Like, what is... Yeah, never mind.
I mean, and as I mentioned earlier, you know, book kiosks like this are not a new idea. They've been popping up on street corners around the world rapidly in recent years. So according to Alex Johnson, in his book Improbable Libraries, A Visual Journey to the World's Most Unusual Libraries, these miniature lending libraries, which take the form of converted phone booths and refrigerators, purpose-built kiosks, and even experimental art installations, these are bringing reading material to the masses at a level that far exceeds their size.
Yeah, and these installations have many names. Some are called mini libraries, others are called book exchanges or book swaps, but all share the same principles. Basically, you take a book, read it, and then return it. So donate your books as well if possible.
Yes, and one of the biggest and most concerted tiny library initiatives is called Little Free Library, which is a global non-profit organization. So according to Little Free Library, children growing up in homes without books are, on average, 3 years behind children in homes with lots of books in terms of academic performance. And one of the most successful ways to improve the reading achievement of children is to increase their access to books especially at home. But 2 out of 3 children living in poverty have no books to call their own. So Little Free Library aims to increase book access by offering free library building instructions, so an online store with pre-built library models and kits, as well as access to free or discounted books. A free little library in your neighborhood is most likely to be a handmade, weatherproof book cabinet, you know, which sort of looks a bit like an oversized bird box, you know, if you can imagine that. And you'll find it in places like front gardens, bus stops, parks, even coffee shops and near restaurants.
And there are more than 100,000 registered Little Free Library book sharing boxes in 108 countries worldwide. And interestingly, there are quite a number in Malaysia as well. So, you know, including in places like public schools and universities in Terengganu, Sabah and Sarawak.
Yeah, and there are also a number of independent book exchanges that take place around Klang Valley. So you may have come across the KL Book Exchange and the Itch to Switch, as well as some cafes and shopping malls that set up their own little book swap corner. But making book exchanges available in public spaces such as through book kiosks can further democratize access to books and reduce many barriers that people face, such as cost and the lack of public libraries in their neighborhood.
Yeah, so why aren't Malaysians showing their appreciation for DBKL's book kiosks? How far have we come as a reading nation? So this is what we'd like to find out from Vanita Balasingham, who is the founder of the Itch to Switch Book Exchange and A Word Affair Bookshop. Welcome, Vanita. She's joining us on the line now. Vanita, the book kiosks by DBKL were inspired by some European countries that use these as mini libraries in public spaces. How effective is it to promote reading?
So I wouldn't know exactly how effective. I think, you know, you'd have to measure against some standard, but something is definitely better than nothing. I mean, definitely more can be done, but, you know, it's good. It's good that we have these kiosks there because, you know, if books are more accessible, then, you know, more people will read. There will be some curiosity. I mean, those who don't frequent libraries or bookshops, you know, the kiosks are just there. The books are there. I mean, if they're waiting, you know, for a train or a bus, you know, there's time. And, you know, they may pick it up and they may find it interesting and, you know, they may start reading. Definitely, you know, there will be some impact. Just how much of an impact, I don't know.
So speaking of book swapping and sharing, you know, you operate the Itch to Switch Book Exchange. How does it work and what has been the reception towards it?
So someone can buy a book from me and they can then return the book and switch for another book of equal value. So for example, if you bought a book for 10 ringgit, you can bring it back and exchange it for another 10 or maybe 2 fives, and you would pay 20%. So there's an exchange fee of 20%. About maybe 10% of all those who come to the shop take part in the book exchange. So you find them bringing the books back and exchanging for other books. The reception has been good. I think if I opened more often, because mine is just a pop-up, so it used to be weekends at Amport Mall and now weekends in Taman Desa. But I think if I opened, you know, more often, then there would be more people swapping.
Mm. And from your observation, what are Malaysians' attitudes towards reading? Do we even have a reading culture?
Maybe not as much as places like Sweden or Ireland. We definitely have some kind of reading culture here. Again, what percentage, I don't know. But I know a lot of people are reading, more than I expected when I started off 5 years ago. Definitely, I've been surprised, pleasantly surprised. I remember a writer stopping at my table at MCOP Mall, and he thanked me. He thanked me for not underestimating Malaysians. So obviously he knew, like, I guess he also teaches, so he knew that there are a lot of Malaysians out there reading.
Mm. But what do you mean by, you know, when you said not underestimating Malaysians? Is this in terms of our appreciation towards literary works?
I think Malaysians have been underestimated, definitely because my core is literature. That's what I sell the most. So yes, a lot of Malaysians do read literary works, more than I thought when I first started out. So I think the problem here is that readers who do like these literary works are not being catered to enough. Mm-hmm. So we have been under catering to, because like 5 years ago when I started out, I kept getting, you know, comments like, oh, it, you know, we find it hard to find these kinds of books here. And now 5 years later, there are a lot more places offering literary works. And I still find comments like that. Like, I still get comments like that. You know, people are still finding it hard to find, you know, the classics or just, you know, literary fiction out there in the bookshop. So I don't think the problem is that Malaysians are not reading these works. I think a bigger problem is, you know, they're not being catered to.
So the book kiosks are only one small way to encourage reading. What else do you think needs to be done to promote a reading culture?
I would like to see small libraries in every neighbourhood. And even if it's not a full-fledged library, I think that, you know, just if the government could or DBKL could provide little spaces, right? A room, maybe even just a room or, you know, a small community hall that could be converted into a library or just a book exchange, I think you'd find that volunteers would do the rest. So I know, you know, that this there's been this issue of the kiosks being damaged, but if, you know, you had volunteers manning them, taking turns to man them maybe weekly or on weekends or, you know, in the evenings, you know, then you won't have this problem of people stealing the books or the kiosk being damaged. But, you know, it would be good because then volunteers could also organize like reading clubs, book discussions, that sort of thing, which would do more to promote reading and to engage the community.
And do you have any thoughts on how our education system can also play a part in promoting a reading culture among Malaysians?
Yes, yeah, so we do have a literacy problem, and that indirectly affects the reading culture in the country. So the government will have to tackle the literacy problem first. And I think that one effective way is to have, so we don't have free kindergartens for everyone right now. And if that's too expensive, maybe just a literacy program prior to entering Standard 1. If that could be provided for every child who is, you know, 6 plus, you know, 6 months prior to Standard 1, if everyone could, if every child could undergo a literacy program so that they could just learn to read before getting to Standard, because those who have gone through kindergarten, they would already know how to read when they, you know, enter primary school, but not those who can't afford kindergarten. So then you find them entering primary one, not knowing how to read, and they are already behind. And the teacher has no time allocated to teach them how to read because she has to go straight into the primary syllabus. So this has to be done before they get into Standard 1. So if that could be done, like if everyone can be reading before they get into primary school, I think that would, you know, make a huge impact. That would have a huge impact on the reading culture. I mean, not now, but, you know, in 6 years' time.
Okay, Vanita, before we let you go, do you have some final thoughts on the value of reading to a society?
I believe that most writers start off as readers. So then if only a small percentage of the Malaysian population is reading, then we're going to have fewer writers writing our stories. So if we can have, you know, if we can get more Malaysians reading, then, you know, that would lead eventually to more writers and more of our stories being told. So that's one. There are many ways to gather knowledge now. I mean, you know, there's Netflix, there are a lot of educational shows on Netflix, there's the internet. But I think reading provides something else because, especially fiction, I mean, a lot of imagination is required. And that's something maybe the other forms of entertainment don't provide. I mean, doesn't provide that, you know, someone has to use their imagination actively. And I think this leads to creativity. So, and, you know, maybe more ideas generated in society. So these are the two things that I can think of right now.
All right. Thank you so much for speaking to us, Vanita. That was Vanita Balasingham, the founder of the Itch to Switch Book Exchange and a World Affair bookshop, which sells new secondhand and vintage books. So you can find Itch to Switch on Facebook, and that's with the numerical number 2.
That's right. And as Vanita mentioned, you know, there's little information on how effective these book kiosks or public book exchanges actually are. But Little Free Library has carried out their own informal surveys, and they found that 3 out of 4 people report they've read a book they normally would not have read because of a Little Free Library in their neighborhood.
Mm. So we asked you earlier on Twitter, we have a poll, and we are asking you, would you use a book kiosk if there is one near you? So as of now, there 77% of y'all say yes, 23% of y'all say no, which is great, right? You know, there's a huge number of people that would use it.
That's right.
And Adnan Arifin dropped a comment and he said it's a very good effort.
Yes, and I can't agree with you more, Adnan. And, you know, I guess, you know, we were focusing also a little bit about the fact that, you know, these kiosks were vandalized, you know, and we were wondering whether, does that mean that Malaysians are just not ready to be a reading society? I don't know. For me, I feel those were probably done by people with nothing better to do, you know, when nobody was watching and just probably got a thrill out of doing it. Mm. I don't know if you guys have been for any of these Big Bad Wolf sales before, and the kind of crowds that are headed there, the bucket loads of books, boxes.
You see people going, like, coming out with baskets of books.
Baskets. People bring their own trolleys.
Their luggage bags, you know, to fill with books. I've been one of them. I've gone at like 2, 3 a.m., you know, to avoid crowds, and it's still crowded.
Yep.
And, you know, everyone's, you know, just consuming so many different books. Yes, it's on sale, but, you know, the fact that they're actually out there, you know, making their way to wherever it is, you know, it's usually not somewhere within the city, to go and buy these books, I think that's a sign that we are a reading society, and, you know, that these incidents, hopefully, I'm very hopeful that these are just isolated incidents.
Yeah, I would have to agree there, because I think no matter where you are in Malaysia or even in a lot of other countries, these things, public property always gets vandalized.
Unfortunately,
you know, like if a bus stop gets vandalized, it doesn't mean we are not a bus using society, you know, because there will always be these kids who, you know, just have nothing else better to do. But I think overall, you know, like you said, when we look at Big Bad Wolf and all that, there is, you know, this huge passion among the people. It may be a small pocket of people, I don't know, but their passion is there, and I think people definitely do still have the appetite for books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And perhaps, I guess, it means that more education is needed in terms of what vandalism is and its consequences as well, right? Because these kiosks are built with taxpayers' monies. It's publicly funded. You know, it's getting people to understand that these kiosks, these books are there for you, for your own benefit. You know, the person who gets the most out of this are the people. It's a really fun way for you to perhaps try reading something new as well. You know, you might not go out and pick a nonfiction book, for example. Mm-hmm. But if you have a book kiosk, that might encourage you to one day try something new. Take a book from there, and perhaps in return you put a book in there that someone else might not have read. And that to me, it's such an interesting exchange, because it's a way of promoting even more. It's promoting people who already read perhaps to read even more beyond what they usually do.
Exactly. And I must share this, you know, just yesterday was a public holiday, right? And I went to a mama for breakfast, right? And there was actually a book kiosk there, you know, with people. And actually, that's the first time I'm seeing it in a sort of a mama setting, right? Usually you see it in cafes and
that's
things
right.
like that. But I was pleasantly surprised. It was full of books and people were taking it, sanitizing their hands as they took it, everything, protocol, very, very well done. And that was wonderful. And, you know, there was a whole, you know, range of people there taking the books and reading them as they were having the roti canai. And that really made me very happy to see, actually. And I guess, you know, are you a fan of, you know, these sorts of book kiosks? Do you think it should be put in, you know, different areas as well? Maybe places where there's not, you know, lower income groups are living, you know, those sorts of things?
Yeah, I think definitely, because it's a really good way to encourage people to read, right? Just, you can go grab one and then, you know, give it back, give your own books. I think it's a good culture too. And more than you know, I think sometimes people tend to want to put these things in more, you know, urban areas or where there's a higher income bracket and things like that. But when we think about it, the people we really need to encourage, the people who may not have as easy of an access to books, are from the lower income places as well. Mm. So, you know, I think it'll be a really good idea to do it.
And I think it'll be a good way for us to encourage people to read more Malaysian books as well. You know, why not at the same time buy books from Malaysian authors, be it children's books or adult books, you know, get people into the culture of reading, but also get people to support our local authors.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully more book kiosks will, you know, keep popping up despite, you know, the vandalism that the ones that are already up faced. And, you know, hopefully more people will be vigilant and, you know, call out people who do bad things to them. But, you know, if you have any thoughts about this, do tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. We're going to take a quick break before we come back with our second segment, but we're going to leave you with a broadcast and The Book Lovers. You're tuned to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.